With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, a 7-year-old boy has died as the result of an apparent drowning in Macoupin County. Ethan Kitchens of Decatur was pulled from the lake at the Plainview area Friday. He was first taken to the Carlinville area hospital and then transported to HSHS St. John's Hospital, where he was pronounced dead. Sangamon County Coroner Cindy Edwards says the boy did not have any other injuries and foul play is not suspected. A massive motorcycle rally is over, and now the rush is on to put the finishing touches on this year's Illinois State Fair. The fair opens Thursday, just 4 days after the conclusion of the National Bikers Roundup, which drew thousands of people to the fairgrounds and hotels and restaurants in the area. WMAY's broadcast will be happening at the Illinois State Fair as well. This month marks the 110th anniversary of the most infamous event in Springfield history, the 1908 race riots. Multiple events are planned to mark the occasion. A new exhibit opened over the weekend, the Springfield Central Illinois African American History Museum. And on Tuesday, the city will rededicate its walking tours, showing where some of the violence occurred. The deadly riots led to the creation of the NAACP in response. Illinois is not among the states offering back-to-school sales tax holidays this year. Supporters of the temporary tax cut argue that it spurs spending and saves consumers money. But Jesse Hathaway, research fellow at the Heartland Institute, says data indicates that's not true.
What sales tax holidays do is they don't boost sales overall. They don't boost overall economic growth.
Hathaway also says retailers have been known to increase prices during the tax holiday window. State Senator Dave Severson opposes the idea, but says it's a frequently discussed item in Springfield.
And it makes for nice little headlines, and it makes them look like they're populist. But again, most of these people are the same ones that have been raising taxes on everybody.
Iowa, Missouri, and Wisconsin all offer some form of sales tax holiday in the month of August. In the past year, 17 cities in Illinois lost a grocery retailer, and the Illinois Retail Merchants Association says there are a variety of factors at play. Two Kroger grocery stores, they're slated for closure later this month, one in Decatur and one in Lincoln. Statements from Kroger Corporate say that the stores weren't expected to return to profitability. State reports indicate since July 2017, throughout the state, 17 grocery stores or food retailers have closed, impacting around 1,660 employees and countless consumers. Illinois Retail Merchants Association's Rob Carr said that while each business is unique, there may be one commonality.
No longer are companies willing to subsidize underperforming stores. If stores aren't meeting their targets, aren't meeting what they need to meet the needs of the companies, then they are more likely to close them than to subsidize them with more profitable stores.
Carr said another factor is combined negative pressures of local and state government regulations on business. And 10 Illinois Army National Guard soldiers are preparing to march 130 miles in 10 days with their counterparts in Poland. While the march celebrating Poland's 17th century victory over Sweden has been going on for over 300 years, this year marks the 25th anniversary the Illinois National Guard has taken part in the annual pilgrimage from Warsaw to Częstochowa. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
Good morning to you. Good morning. We've sung the whole night through. Good morning. Good morning to you. We've sung.
That's Greg on the bass.
Good morning. Good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you.
I thought Ray Lytle was in this ensemble, but I can't seem to find him.
Could you sing? What did you? Were you in any choir or anything?
I was in choir.
I could see you as a choir boy.
In middle school, I was asked to sing with the high school contest group.
Oh, hold on. I'm calling the trophy shop.
It was quite a big deal back in the day.
What did you sing? What was your bass, tenor, alto?
I was brought in from middle school to sing with the high school because I had a very high soprano type of voice. Where I could use my falsetto.
Good morning.
You were I could use my soprano. Falsetto.
Well, whatever they call that. For a soprano. I forget what they call that. A tenor? No.
No, soprano's the high. That's right. Oh, soprano.
I was brought in to sing part of The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
That's really, you were a soprano.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was brought in, but then, you know, as I went throughout high school, I was still able to use the falsetto, and I was more
well,
of a...
Well, you probably at puberty.
Yeah, I was more of a baritone.
You know, I mean, that happens.
Yeah.
I never had a higher pitched voice.
No?
No.
What about your falsetto?
I mean, I got a falsetto.
Yeah. That's your higher pitch
but it's
voice.
Not. But that's not natural. I mean, it's false. That's hence the name.
It is natural. It's just using a different, you know, you're manipulating your vocal cords.
Some guys. Listen, I've talked to throughout my life. I talked to some guys.
Yeah.
And I talked to them on the phone. Hello. It's like, oh, how you doing? Yeah, I get it. Oh, wonderful. And I think I'm talking to a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And then I meet him. I'm Carrie. I'm sorry. I'm Carrie. You're the Carrie I've been talking to? Wow. You know, and you realize I thought it was someone who, you know, was female. I had no idea. It was like you talk on the phone, you meet people, they really have high-pitched voices.
Sure.
So sometimes you can never tell, especially if they're a Kelly or a Carrie or a Chris. Or, you know what I mean? Any of those, what do they call those? I know that it's not, what is it? Gender neutral names or whatever? Yeah. If a gender neutral name always sort of, if you got a high pitched voice or if you're a female with a low pitched voice. When I worked in Youngstown, Ohio, there was a woman, a talented on air person. But I didn't know for the longest time. I had no idea if this was a man or a woman. And it really didn't matter. It didn't matter, but like when I saw her, I was like, oh my gosh, she's a woman. I had no idea she was a woman.
Did she have like a deep voice or something?
She was a good-looking woman.
Hey, this is Billy.
Yeah, her voice was really deep.
What was her name? Was it kind of a, you know,
what was her
gender neutral name type thing, you know, like a Billy?
I want to say her name was Casey.
Even Casey's
was,
one of those.
Because it was another name that was gender neutral.
Right.
And she talk like this.
Was she a smoker?
Oh yeah.
Okay, well.
I mean, come on. It was like 4-pack a day habit, I think.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but that was like God, I was there so long ago. Hold on, I'm gonna Google to see if anybody remembers her. Let's see. Let's see if anybody remembers it so I got the name right. In case any of our listeners have ever been through Youngstown, Ohio. All right, let's see here. Yeah, I think it was Casey. Anyway, I was wanting to get the full name, but oh well. Yeah, and she was attractive. But I didn't realize she was female.
Yeah. Sometimes it's difficult to put a voice to a face.
Well,
that's
it's usually
why
not.
Whenever people meet me for the first time out and about, they're like, it's good to get a face to the voice because I pinned you as looking a little different.
Yeah. No. Here was my reaction. Oh my God, you're a woman. I was like 19 or 20, you know.
Sure, right.
And my reaction should have been, oh, nice to meet you, and it didn't make a difference, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But it was shocking to me, and my reaction was, oh, my God, you're a female? But she was really, really deep-voiced, you know. All right, let's take some calls to get the Monday going. Greg, see what our listeners are up to, what happened over the weekend. Good morning. You are on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Good morning. Hi, what's your general manager's name? He worked at XRT up in Chicago.
Harvey, our general manager, yeah, he did. He worked at he worked at several places in Chicago.
Well, XRT was eclectic jazz slash great, and I listened to that for years and years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of their hosts was a lady by the name of Terry Hemmert.
Terry's one of those gender-neutral names.
Well, I'll tell you, I pictured Terry Hemmert as like a 5'4" blonde Swedish, just absolute knockout.
Yeah.
And then I met her.
Okay.
6 foot, 220 dyke.
She's 6 foot tall?
At least.
Oh, wow.
Big, gigantic woman, just lesbian. I mean, just...
I have learned throughout my years, women don't like being called big, gigantic
right.
women.
No, yeah. No, they want to be known as tiny, petite,
oh,
dainty.
My God. I mean, I had this mental image of her, and I was in
big,
love with
giant
her.
Woman.
Her Beatles knowledge was in, you know.
Well, you could still be in love with her.
Yeah.
Oh, right, she was just amazing, and then I met her, and my. It was like popping a balloon. It was
so
the weirdest feeling I ever had.
But let me, oh. I want to get this.
Sorry to hear
did
that.
Did you still like her?
Oh, yeah. I mean, on the radio,
because,
but I just.
Like, here's the deal. I mean, if she was 5'4", blonde-haired, gorgeous, and heterosexual, you still had no chance of sleeping with her.
Well,
you do realize that, right? I mean, it doesn't matter if she's 6'2" and 220, lesbian or whatever. You still had no shot of sleeping with her before.
Well,
before you saw what she looked like.
Well, I figured once she met me, you know, it'd be.
That's funny.
This is like me watching a Margot Robbie movie and thinking, oh, yeah, she's going to meet me. And she's going to fall in love with me and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you still had no shot before, so what does it matter?
I don't know. It was just one of those things as a young man, totally naive and just absolutely floored me.
Yeah, I saw early on in my radio career, and not so much since I've been in Springfield, because they slapped a billboard of my big fat face, you know, almost immediately. But when I first started in radio and I was young and... people would meet me, they'd have that, you'd see that look in their eyes of, oh my God, this is not what he sounds like.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even Mike Wenmacher.
Wenmacher doesn't look like he sounds.
No, he doesn't look like a hockey player, he looks more like a puck.
Oh my God, that's the most severe burn I've ever heard at 6:21 in the morning.
Poor Wenmacher. Thank you, buddy.
He doesn't look like a hockey player. He looks like a puck. Oh. Oh.
That was pretty good. Well delivered.
Yes. Good morning. You're on WBY.
Come in, Ray.
Oh, come in, Tom.
Ray, I wanted to get out this morning, but I'm still down in the bunker. I got my flak vest on and my Kevlar helmet. Has all of the ricochets and misfires and shots from Chicago landed yet? Is it safe to come out?
Apparently it was a very violent weekend. Right?
You're in Springfield, Tom. It's been safe the whole time.
I think one of their bullets hit my front sidewalk.
No, Tom. That's a long ways away. Unless you were driving in Chicago on a certain side of town, you're okay.
50 shootings, 9 dead, including 4, which qualify as mass shootings.
It's horrible.
Yeah. I want to get out and get a soda. But I'm scared
people.
To get out. Would you tell me, Ray, when it's safe to come out of the bunker?
It's horrible.
Has the shooting stopped yet?
I don't know.
Okay, this is all we know. 24-hour period, 34 people shot, 5 dead. That's from Saturday morning through Sunday morning.
But they said the whole weekend was 50 shootings and 9 dead.
I guess
they need
a
scorecard. Ray, I've got 2 tickets here for a Chicago tour. I'm mailing them to you because I'm not going to use them.
Thank you, Tom.
Have a good time, and let me know how it goes, will you?
Thank you, Tom.
It is always a pleasure.
By the way, I've gone on plenty of tours in Chicago.
Chicago's safe.
Chicago's safe. It's isolated in, you know, the south side, the far south side, and the far west side. Chicago's a safe place to visit.
Yeah, it's
just so people understand.
It's a shame they can't get they can't get this under control. It really is. I mean, they've tried for 20 years, and it just gets worse.
How do you?
It's worse now than it was last year. Last year was worse than it was the year before that. That year was worse than it was the year. It just keeps getting worse. I don't know.
And what's the answer?
Several mayors have tried.
Yeah.
Several governors have tried.
Mm-hmm. There's even talk about bringing in the National Guard to try to bring it under control.
They have tried to control guns. They've tried to control. Police have tried to control neighborhoods. And still the violence continues. I don't know how.
They've tried dumping millions of dollars into, you know, after school programs.
Well, it's not school children doing it. It's
children who used to be school children. It's
kids
people
that are recruited,
who used to be.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Here's the reason. I mean, listen, there's money to be made.
There is, yeah.
In illegal activity, and they have groups of people that get together to do the illegal activity, aka gangs. And the gangs don't like each other because they're all vying for the same consumers.
Yeah, they're in the black market battling each other completely unregulated, and the only way they are regulated is by themselves shooting at each other.
And God forbid they let the free market work and sell their goods. That's not how it works. They figure the best way to profitability is to kill your opponents,
Because if you were to take all the profit away by putting it on the regulated market and taxing it, then a lot of this would go away. Now, that's just...
Well, we've tried everything but that.
Right.
You know,
but you talk about lifting prohibition on drugs and people's heads blow up.
I'll tell you what, I would not want to be the first person to own the legal dispensary in those neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Because those gangs would... I mean, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
That would be the...
I wouldn't set one up there.
Yeah. The first one that does it, I feel they're going to need a lot of security. Oh, well, 6:25 is the time. We are here. My name is Ray Lytle. Welcome to the Ray Lytle Morning Show. That's Greg Bishop.
I was going
to
say, I didn't recognize you
at first,
Ray.
What's that? I don't know what you're talking about. I have no idea.
All of a sudden, this guy who's like 30 years younger walks into the studio, and I'm like, what the...
Well, I've been working out.
What in the world?
I was working on my pecs.
You had a productive weekend. Yeah. I can't really see anything below your neck.
I was working on my pecs. Did you know what I did?
What's that?
I attempted to trim my eyebrows.
Oh, yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. How did that go?
Well, if you get close enough. I mean, I didn't.
It didn't look horrible.
Yeah, it doesn't look
fine from here.
It doesn't look horrible.
Yeah.
But I need to have them professionally.
Yeah.
I did it because a listener called in a couple weeks ago. Said, oh, your eyebrows, you got to do that. Yeah, so I did what a listener said.
Mm.
That's what I get for listening.
You trimmed your own eyebrows. Yeah, you got to leave that to professionals.
To our listeners. I'm going to have to, yeah. Anyway, so that's, if you look close enough, dude.
I love it.
That's awesome.
If you look close enough, it didn't turn out great.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, Indonesian authorities say rescuers still haven't reached some devastating parts of the tourist island of Lombok after a powerful earthquake flattened houses and toppled bridges, killing at least 91 people and shaking neighboring Bali. It was the second deadly quake in a week to hit Lombok. Meanwhile, U.S. Senator Rand Paul is in Moscow today, meeting with Russian senators in an effort to strengthen dialogue between the U.S. and Russia. ABC's Arlette Sines has more.
Republican Senator Rand Paul met in Moscow with senators on Russia's International Affairs Committee.
And my goal in coming to Russia is to say that we want to have open lines of communication. It does not mean that we have no differences.
Paul said he invited Russian senators on the committee to come to the U.S. for further meetings with the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He also said they're working on another meeting between the two committees in a neutral country. Arlette Sines, ABC News, Washington.
Chicago officials say it was one of the most violent 24-hour stretches in recent memory. 34 people were shot, 5 fatally, just from Saturday morning through Sunday morning. The rash of shootings created chaos at Chicago's Strozier Hospital, where the emergency room was so crowded with patients that many family members of wounded were not allowed inside, leaving them to congregate outside of the hospital. A 57-year-old woman's died in Chicago after being mauled by a pit bull. Police say the unidentified woman was attacked by a large pit bull dog around midday. The dog charged police officers and was shot dead. The woman later died in a hospital. Officials in Chicago want to test the waters of offering a universal basic income. WMAY's Cole Lauterbach has more.
A majority of city council members want a task force that will look into universal basic income, which is essentially a periodic check with no strings attached. The plan would send at least $500 per month to 1,000 Chicago families. At a speech last month, former President Barack Obama endorsed the idea of a UBI.
We're going to have to consider new ways of thinking about these problems, like a universal income, review of our work week, how we retrain our young people.
The issue that Manhattan Institute senior fellow Orrin Cass and others have with the idea is that a pilot program wouldn't give any indication of how a large-scale handout would work.
Choosing a random group of people and telling them they get a bunch of money, we call that a lottery.
As of 2016, the city has $40 billion in bills, according to Truth in Accounting. I'm Cole Lauterbach.
The newly appointed leader of Southern Illinois University says he wants to heal divisions following the polarizing tenure of the school's system's former president. Southern Illinois in Carbondale reports that interim president J. Kevin Dorsey sees a big task ahead for him after taking over for Randy Dunn, whose last day was in July. Public trust in Dunn evaporated after internal documents revealed he worked to split the system's two campuses and reallocate millions in funding. And the Illinois Supreme Court has ruled that a woman who was injured after tripping on a poorly maintained sidewalk can move forward with a lawsuit against the city of Danville. Champaign News Gazette reports the state's high court ruled 7-0 on Thursday that Danville was not immune from liability, and the city had argued. Lower courts had sided with the city, finding that the municipality was protected by a state law intended to shield governments from the actions of their employees. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
629-7970, the phone number. That's 629-7970. Or you can text us at 68255. That's 68255. Text Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E, space in your message. All right. A lot of things to talk about today. We've got Trump. We've got a Trump Twitter. And you know we like to check up the latest Trump Twitter, Greg. No tweets as of yet this morning. Yesterday's, I guess it's a lot of people talking about yesterday. Was it yesterday's tweets where he admitted that the meeting had nothing to do with adoption?
Yeah, I'm trying to find the actual date, but it was reported on 23 hours ago. Fake news reporting, a complete fabrication that I'm concerned about the meeting my wonderful son, Donald, had in Trump Tower. This was a meeting to get information on an opponent.
Is his son wonderful?
Totally legal and done all the time in politics, and it went nowhere. I did not know about it, he said, exclamation point.
Sounds like, well, you're just telling us what it was about. I mean, right?
Well, now he knows all about it because the press reports are. And Don Jr. But remember, he put out the emails as well.
But remember when it was? It was about adoption.
I don't remember that being the go-to response, yeah, but that's been what's reported was they tried to sell it as it was a meeting about Russian adoption.
They said it was a meeting about Russian adoption.
And they also, there was also a line in there that the meeting, when they did ultimately get together, had nothing to even do with Hillary Clinton. It had to do with the Mashinsky Act or something like that.
That's what they said. That's about the adoption bill. Yes,
okay,
yeah.
I thought that was a bill that put heavy sanctions on some of the oligarchs.
I mean, Trump supporters, do you now believe that it's BS now that he said it was BS? I mean, he's basically admitting, hey, we lied then. No big deal. We lied then. By the way, like I told you earlier, is there anyone who actually thought it was about adoption? No one thought it was actually about adoption.
Kind of like that tarmac meeting with Lynch and Clinton. That meeting was not about their grandkids.
No one believed it was about the grandkids.
Nobody was talking about their grandkids on the tarmac with Attorney General Roberta Lynch right before you've got the FBI putting out their document. I mean, come on.
No, we got to stop believing the crap they shovel, but it doesn't matter. This current president, whatever he shovels, people are just lapping it up.
By the way, I meant Loretta Lynch, not Roberta Lynch. Roberta Lynch is AFSCME. You know Loretta Lynch is former Obama AG.
You notice I did not correct you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I had to correct myself.
I mean, come on. We gotta stop just every time a politician gives us stuff, we got to stop shoveling it in.
Right.
Ask questions. It's okay to ask questions.
Yeah. It's okay to ask questions.
So I guess the news wasn't fake news when they were reporting it back then. Right? Well, what happens then?
Well, here's an interesting dilemma. Was the fake news fake back then because that's what the administration and campaign officials told the news and thereby making the news turn into fake news?
The sources told them it was about getting dirt on Hillary Clinton.
So when they report that.
So when they reported it, then the Trump administration said, oh, no, that's fake news. It was about adoption.
But then when the media reports it's about adoption, then they can turn around and say, look, that was fake
news. That's fake news. It wasn't about adoption. It was colluding to get details on Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Something that apparently the president says is now something politicians do
completely legal.
All the time. I don't think collusion.
I imagine getting campaign dirt on your...
Well... In that campaign,
it happens all the time. Absolutely.
It does. Hillary Clinton paid Fusion GPS and that crowd to go and get more dirt on Trump from a foreign actor who was getting information from the Russians.
Let's clarify that. Who ordered that dossier?
It was finalized and paid for and handed over by the Clintons to the FBI.
Who made the first five
payments? I believe Marco Rubio's establishment Republicans who wanted to derail Trump.
I just want to bring that up. I'm not.
They're not the ones who handed it over to the FBI.
But
though.
Let's just clarify that it was Marco
that's fine.
Rubio.
Yeah.
Who
in the primary, Rubio paid GPS, Fusion GPS, to dig up dirt, and then ultimately.
And then, by the way, give credit for Fusion GPS. They went and they did the work. They got all the dirt, and then Rubio lost. And so then they went to Hillary Clinton and said, hey.
Yeah, and they had Hillary Clinton pay for it.
Guess what we've got?
We've got foreign intelligence from Russian spies putting through British intelligence. Here's some crap dirt on Trump.
And if you give us this money, you can have it. Which, by the way, I'm sure happens all the time.
And then what happened is they laundered, you know how money laundering works? They laundered
that's right.
this
I see
bogus.
Paul Manafort being tried for it right now.
They laundered this bogus dossier full of unverifiable information to the FBI and the Justice Department to get a bogus FISA warrant to spy on the Trump campaign.
Well, here's let me find.
But
let me give you the exact quote on what this was. This happens all the time in politics. It's completely legal, totally legal, and done all the time in politics, Greg.
Getting dirt, sure.
Totally legal.
Laundering it through the Justice Department
totally
and the FBI.
And done all the time in politics.
But.
And it went nowhere, Greg.
It went nowhere. However, with the Clinton camp, the Republicans are saying that they're.
Why aren't we locking Marco Rubio up? Why aren't we locking up?
He didn't hand it over to the FBI and the DOJ to get a FISA warrant.
It's illegal to hand stuff over to the FBI?
When it's completely salacious and the FBI signs off on it as being...
How do they know?
They cannot include unverified information into a warrant.
How is that Hillary Clinton's fault? They bought information that was ordered by Marco Rubio.
Well, initially.
That's who ordered it.
Initially.
That's who ordered it. They completed it. Then they went and they said, hey, we got this information. If you want it, it's going to cost you this much.
And they got another dupe to buy it.
They said, okay, here's the money. They got it. They said, oh, this looks bad. We probably should turn this over to the FBI because we don't want to get in trouble for it. So why is that for them turning it over? Mm-hmm. You don't yell at the person who turns over evidence.
No, Clinton didn't sign off on the warrant. Comey did.
Yes.
McCabe did. Rosenstein did.
Why are people demanding that she needs
Obama's
to be locked up?
Obama's Department of Justice did.
Why are they demanding she be locked up?
Well, I think they're demanding she be locked up for the email investigation, not for this.
Oh, see, I'm unclear because they haven't shut up with her being locked up. It's been lock her up.
Well, there's a lot of people unclear
about a lot of things. I'm just wondering how come we're not locking up Marco Rubio and if it's done all the time.
Because Marco Rubio didn't hand over and launder this bogus information through
illegal,
a FISA warrant.
But it's not illegal to give evidence to the FBI. It happens every day.
But again, the FBI... is the one that's under the gun here, according to, you know, even the IG and all these hearings.
Here's my point.
I'm
not talking about the FBI. Yeah. I'm talking about people are saying that Hillary Clinton did something wrong.
With emails.
By giving information. To the FBI.
I don't think there's
nothing wrong with if you think there's something.
What's wrong there? Again, according to what Republicans are, you know, criticizing here, what's wrong is the use of that unverified and salacious information, according to Comey, the use of that information in a FISA warrant that gave the Obama DOJ the ability to spy on the Trump campaign. That's what Republicans are saying. They're not saying that Hillary Clinton was wrong to hand that over to the FBI or the DOJ. They're saying the DOJ under Obama was wrong to use that unverified information to get a spying warrant on the Trump campaign.
Yeah, but that's not.
It's we're convoluted. I get it. It's convoluted.
And I'm saying you can't look.
But the lock her up chance came way before this information was even revealed, and it dealt with more of her handling of the email server.
All right, but I'm saying you can't blame a person for. They read the dossier. I haven't read the dossier. I don't care about the dossier. I don't know what's in it. I mean, I heard the P stuff, but who hasn't? So I know that. But I'm saying it's not. There's nothing illegal in giving stuff to the FBI. There's nothing illegal in that. And that's what I'm trying to put out there. You can't, you know. If you give evidence to the FBI, it's not a crime to give evidence to the FBI.
Well, again, not a crime to give evidence to the FBI.
Yeah, okay, it's
fine. But it is.
What the FBI does with it's not her fault.
Sure, no, and I'm conceding that. Absolutely, okay. Not her fault. The fault, again, according to Republicans.
But let me go back to the initial argument. I don't even know if it was an argument. It was just an original factual statement of
Trump's statement.
Once again, the president clarified
yes.
that they lied.
Yes.
Good morning. You're on WMUI.
Yes, it may not be illegal to give the FBI.
Did he clarify that they lied?
Pardon me?
Did President Trump clarify that he lied when he.
About whether this
tweet?
Meeting was yeah. about adoption or to get dirt?
Yeah.
This is the first I've heard about the adoption issue.
Yeah, I didn't.
I heard something early on.
So you're disregarding that their initial claim was about adoption?
Not disregarding. I'm not. I just now this morning was made aware of it when you guys were talking about it.
You don't remember when this meeting came up months ago?
Well, so they said that they initially claimed that the meeting was about adoption.
Yes, that's what they said.
Like back in 2017.
Yeah, when it first came up, when it first came up, Donald Trump Jr. and then Donald Trump Jr. went and testified,
and he handed over emails
saying it was about adoption.
And he
told the prosecutors it was about adoption. Donald Trump Jr. I think is in some trouble.
If he lied to the FBI and said it was about adoption,
and he lied that he spoke in front of he had that. Closed door meeting with Congress, and I guess I haven't
seen transcripts of any of this.
Yeah, I don't
myself.
Know. I'm just saying that they said that's what he claimed was it was about adoption. And the
am I the caller?
Oh,
or
you're just annoying, is what you are. You know, they said it was about adoption, and then I mean, if I'm Donald Trump Jr., I'm like, Dad, hello. You know what? What if he gets nailed with perjury or something?
Yeah, the president's got pardon power.
Yeah, would you want your dad?
All of a sudden, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a pardon Christmas. I'm dreaming of a pardon Christmas.
I don't know who came up with the adoption malarkey.
Yeah, I'm not
you
sure.
You know what I mean? I didn't think that was a good idea. Anyway.
I would have to go back and review that entire timeline.
Yeah, and I don't know who.
But ultimately, what I see the administration saying here is that the meeting was about to get dirt. However, I have heard various surrogates of the administration saying that the meeting was nothing about the dirt, even though it was said that this meeting was going to be about dirt.
Yes.
When they did meet, it was nothing about dirt, and it was all about this Mashinsky Act. I think I'm saying it right. I have no idea. But it was an act that would have put heavy sanctions on certain Russian oligarchs.
And now they're saying that it had nothing to do with it. It was just about—and by the way— I think the American people would have accepted, oh, well, they said that they had dirt on our opponent. We wanted to go have the meeting. Mm. I think people would have accepted it. Why lie in the first place? It seems like there's there was an unnecessary lie in the first place that we're trying to fix now, and, you know, you look foolish when it's all said and done. Anyway, I see the phone lines jamming up. People want to talk about this. We'll talk about it next, I promise.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk, 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, a 7-year-old boy's died after he was pulled from a lake in central Illinois. Springfield State Journal Register reports the family members were performing CPR when Macoupin County Sheriff's deputies arrived. Deputies and paramedics took over life-saving efforts, and the child was taken to a hospital in Carlinville, where he was regaining a pulse. After an hour of CPR, he then was transported by helicopter to St. John's Hospital in Springfield, where he died early Friday evening. There's a lot of good in the 15,000-plus bikers that spent the weekend in Springfield for the National Bikers Roundup. Not only did the bikers fill hotels all around the area and pack restaurants, but they also filled the area food pantries, too. The group's making a giant food donation to the Central Illinois Food Bank that'll help parents with kids going back to school. Springfield's plan for new smart parking meters has apparently created a rift between the city treasurer and Mayor Jim Langfelder's administration. State Journal Register reporting that Misty Buescher, the treasurer, has hired attorney Don Craven after she was denied the attachments of emails during two Freedom of Information Act requests. Mayor Langfelder told the paper that Buescher will get the attachments. In the past year, grocery stores in Clinton, Moline, Effingham, Kankakee, and several supermarkets in the Chicago suburbs closed. Two more in central Illinois are slated to close by the end of this month. Kroger Grocery Stores plans to close its Decatur and Lincoln stores. Add that to the 17 grocery stores and food shops that have closed since last year. Illinois Retail Merchants Association President Rob Carr said people trending to eat out more could be one reason. But he said the grocery business lives in the narrowest margins where there's very little room for error and intense competition. But there's another factor, he said.
We can't overlook the fact that, people tend to roll their eyes sometimes, but it's real. The combined impact of local government and state government's pressures on business also impacts them negatively.
With the 17 stores that have closed in the past year, at least 1,660 employees lost their jobs. 17 states across the country have some form of sales tax holiday during the year, but Illinois is not among them. Jesse Hathaway, research fellow at the Heartland Institute, says many lawmakers claim that they're trying to give consumers a break. He thinks that there's a better way.
If lawmakers really want to save money for consumers, then they should be reducing the sales tax rate, not just on one weekend. They should be doing that year-round.
Illinois last held a back-to-school sales tax holiday in 2010. State Senator Dave Severson voted against the proposal at the time and notes the results weren't encouraging.
The stores knew it was a no-tax weekend, and so they artificially kept the prices even higher. So individuals thought they were getting a deal, but they were actually paying more.
Iowa, Missouri, and Wisconsin all offer some form of sales tax holiday in the month of August. And a new analysis from Medicare Health Plans shows syphilis is the most Googled medical condition in Illinois this year. Health officials here said that chlamydia and gonorrhea are many times more common than syphilis, but the study found that searches don't correspond with actual prevalence, but rather indicate concerns. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
You are listening to the Ray Lytle Morning Show. Phone number 629-7970. Or you can text in your message, Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E space, and whatever you want to talk about. And the number 68255. All right? Let us move on because Greg pushed me down the hole of...
No,
not.
Trump.
He's making it sound like I tripped you or tied your shoelaces or something.
You know how much I hate talking about it.
I know. I don't even know how it came
Why
up.
Why do you have to? You got into the FISA and all this bull crap.
And then you brought, you started
stop
it
off with it.
You
just
started
stop.
It by reading one of his tweets. So we just had to give it the grand context. That's what we did, Ray. We weren't arguing.
Oh,
we were just giving the
God,
grand context.
I just get sucked down that hole of just ridiculousness, of nonsense.
It is kind of nonsense,
man. It's nonsense. Here's why it's nonsense. Because the people who, people believe whatever they believe, right?
Yeah, sure.
And they're not going to change.
Listen, Trump supporters aren't going to be rattled by this. They're not going to be rattled by Stormy Daniels. They're not going to be rattled
by... They don't care. They just change the past. They just go... Listen, the one guy that was on said, oh, I don't even remember that. Of course you do. It was a year ago.
It was quite some time ago.
It was last July when that's what they said. And this guy just, he goes, oh, that's not what they said in the first place. So...
But you can say the same for Trump's memory as you can with the media's memory as well, because when he came out in January of last year and said they spied on me, people said he was crazy, he was a whack job, he was cuckoo, and how, you know, he's mentally unfit.
Yeah, but the people who said that, they still do. And the people who said he's not, they still do.
Well, no, he was spied on.
I'm saying that
depending on if you call it a confidential informant or a spy, whatever.
Nobody's
but.
Changing their opinions is what I'm saying. The same people that believed he was a nut job,
right.
still believe
no,
he's
right.
a nut
Absolutely.
Job.
Absolutely.
And the people who believed he's 100% no.
And it's he's like pristine and pure and
he
right.
just admitted a lie.
Yeah.
No, right. he didn't. No, he did not. Well, yeah, he did.
I think so.
No, he didn't.
He didn't come out and say, I lied about this, but he came out and said something that was counter to what was said a year ago.
But the people who last year said he never lied,
right.
today, when...
We'll say that he never lied.
He never lied.
You know, you're right. You're right. Everybody's got their...
We don't change anyone's opinion, which is why...
Everybody's got their Trump or anti-Trump glasses
on.
No question.
I hate to talk about it.
Eh, it's tough. But it's reality. I mean, there's ways to discuss these things without, you know.
I like talking about things that we all face every day.
Sure.
Like, this is a good one. In Ohio, did you hear? I don't know if you heard this or not. There's a guy named Richard Hill who's walking through a Walmart parking lot, okay?
Yep.
And he noticed this crowd around this car that had two dogs inside.
Okay.
It was 90-some, I think.
Mm. Yeah, it's a hot one.
Dogs are in the car.
Right.
Windows rolled up.
Mm-mm. Not good.
And the dogs...
car on? Was the AC
no,
on?
No.
Oh, man.
AC's
rough.
Not on.
That's rough.
Dogs are in the car. And people are freaking out. And the guy's there, and he's like, what's going on? They said, oh, these dogs are in the car. And so they're freaking out. They're there. They wait. They wait, like, 4 minutes. The guy finally goes and he grabs a hammer. He goes, hold on. He grabs a hammer. He grabs a hammer and he knocks the window out. Okay? So then the person comes out. They're like, what happened to my window? They say, well, he knocked it out. So your dogs could breathe. The person's freaked out. They call the police. Police show up. The police go and they get the surveillance tape from Walmart and they time it. The dogs were in the car for 8 minutes before he knocked it out. Now, it doesn't say how long before the owner came back out. So now they ended up arresting him for getting these dogs out of the car.
Man.
So should he face charges? Should he, should this guy...
Yeah. Listen, this
be
is...
...be fined and have to pay for the window and all this stuff simply because he thought the dogs were dying and he just tried to save their lives?
This is something that the state of Illinois has been grappling over as well, and we do not have a law known as what's in the circle of helping hot dogs get out of hot cars.
They have one for babies.
They have one for babies, but it's a Good Samaritan law of sorts, right?
There was a lot of discussion. One bill passed out of the House, went to the Senate. I believe it was held up in the Senate here in Illinois that would have allowed somebody to break open a window to rescue a dog or a cat from a hot car, but they would have had to have stayed around for law enforcement to show up.
By the way, Ohio has a law that says you can break a window to save a dog.
Right, okay.
And that's what he thought he was doing. Yeah. The police are now charging him. Wow. I want to know, what do you do if you see a dog in a car?
629-7970.
What do you do? Good morning. You're on the Ray Lotto Morning Show.
Hey, Ray.
How you doing, buddy? What do you do?
Well, you know, I don't know if it was on your station or not, but there seemed like there was a policeman on, and he said, you know, he gave a phone number. And he says, if you see a pet in a hot car, call the authorities.
Yeah, you can call dispatch.
You know, 788-8311 is what he gave. And I don't know if it goes right to someplace, but he was under the impression that you don't take action, but you wait till the authorities get there.
Yeah, if you were to bust open a window.
I hope you didn't just give the number to, like, some porn line or something.
No, I got it written down right here.
Thinking you're pulling one over on me.
No, it's in my wallet, right under Crime Stoppers. I got both numbers.
Oh, okay, all right. So you actually listened to it and wrote it down. You're a good listener.
Yeah, I did, because I'm thinking if I ever see that.
Well, if you see that, what do you do? Do you
call the police?
Do you take out the window or anything?
No, I don't. I think that's too risky. I really think you have to call that number.
What if there's a baby in the car?
And then, baby, that's different. You're gonna go ahead and get that thing out. You're gonna pull that.
I mean,
baby
who would leave a baby in the car, right? Nobody leaves a baby in the car.
Yeah, you hear it a lot.
By the way, we did a thing back there in the morning disaster days. We did a thing on this. We put Bodine and Jimmy in a car, and we locked it. It was like a 90-some-odd degree day. Dude, I'm serious. I am not joking. It was like 4 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And they had trouble breathing.
Yeah.
They were sweating. I mean, they started to get some sort of, you know, and I want to say within 10 minutes, they just couldn't take it anymore.
No, babies, that's different. Pets, like I said, call the cops. Oh, you know, don't get yourself in any kind of trouble.
But you would do nothing. You said you'd do nothing.
I would call the phone number I just gave you because I wrote it down.
Good Samaritan or bad Samaritan, Greg?
For what?
This guy, good Samaritan or bad Samaritan?
I think he's a good Samaritan.
Wouldn't do anything?
I think he understands the law to the degree of it being a risky decision to do such a thing, but he's willing to call law enforcement to get there and to assess the situation and to act further. Law enforcement can break a window open.
Thank you.
But, yeah, I think he's a good Samaritan.
Good call, buddy.
Thanks.
Good morning. You're on WMAY.
Yeah, you call the police. I mean, that's crazy because there's a law against it in Illinois. You're not supposed to find any animal in any motor vehicle that puts his life at risk.
So you let the dog die, and then the owner
dog
gets
wasn't
charged.
Dying.
No, I'm
but
just
this
saying.
Dog
well,
wasn't
I, well
dying.
we don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not a dog.
He's been in the car 8 minutes. I doubt the dog has died.
I would never. I would never, ever leave my dog in a car.
Now, by the way, in Illinois, because it's against the law, the animal control and the police are indemnified for breaking the guy's window to get the dog out. You're not, but they are. We don't have a good Samaritan law in Illinois.
So if the police show up and break out his window. Greg said it's something they've debated it, right?
Yeah,
there's
it
one in
Arizona. The House, it's stuck in the Senate. They want to rework some language in the Senate, from what I understand.
Yeah.
And I know why they're worried about it. I mean, because everybody's going to see a dog in the car and just break the window out.
Well, because it starts with dogs, and then it's, oh, I left my pie. There's a pie in that car. Oh, there's a bottle. Someone left a bottle of water. I had to break the window.
Hey, people leave their kids in the car accidentally. I mean, things happen. Sometimes
I don't know.
You do it on purpose.
I have a child. I never accidentally left the child in a car.
Oh, I've known people that have.
Well, you know.
Even if it was just for 2 or 3 minutes.
You know bad people.
They're not bad people. They're people that make mistakes. You ever make a mistake?
Never.
Oh, yeah. Let's look at the morning.
I never made a mistake. I never make mistakes. Except for my eyebrows. Thank you, buddy. By the way, I mentioned earlier I tried to trim my eyebrows. And Nikki sent me a text that said, or sent me a Facebook message that said, at least you didn't wax off your entire eyebrow like I did when I interned for you. And I actually remember this. The Nikki, who's called the show before,
mm-hmm.
when she interned for me on the morning disaster, there was a time where she actually accidentally waxed off her eyebrows. had to draw them with a pencil or with some type of makeup pen. It was ridiculous. I actually remember that now. Thank you, Nikki, for that fine memory.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, President Donald Trump is now saying that a 2016 Trump Tower meeting between his son, Donald Jr., and a Kremlin-connected lawyer was to collect information about his political opponent and that it, quote, went nowhere. 13 months ago, Trump said during that meeting, quote, we primarily discussed a program about the adoption of Russian children that was active and popular with American families years ago. Meanwhile, the most critical moment in the financial fraud trial of former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort will likely arrive this week with the testimony of his right-hand man, the person defense attorneys blame for any crimes. Rick Gates had been key, a cooperator for special counsel Robert Mueller's team after he cut a plea deal earlier this year. During that process, Gates admitted to two felony charges. The trial resumes this afternoon in federal court in Virginia. An assassination attempt on the life of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro this weekend has rocked the South American country. The Trump administration has said there was no U.S. government involvement at all. But as ABC's chief national correspondent Matt Gutman tells the White House, suspects that another head of state may actually have been involved.
It also is suggesting that to some degree this might have been staged by the Venezuelan government itself as a pretext to try to crack down on the opposition and try to relieve some pressure on its authoritarian regime.
Well, closer to home, sad story out of Iowa where authorities say the body of a small child was recovered from the Mississippi River in southeast Iowa. It was pulled from the water Sunday night near Browns Island at Riverside Park. Authorities would not comment on whether the body was that of a 2-year-old Hawk Newberry, who fell into the water July 24th from a dock on a riverfront in Rock Island, Illinois. Public officials in Chicago want to offer 1,000 lucky residents a universal basic income to see how it would work. Critics wonder how a city with so much debt would pay for it. WMAY's Cole Lauterbach has more.
Chicago alderman Amaya Pawar has a majority of his fellow aldermen signed onto a task force looking into a pilot program offering a universal basic income, or UBI. It would give 1,000 Chicago families at least $500 per month with no strings attached. President Obama said last month that the idea should be explored.
We're going to have to consider new ways of thinking about these problems, like a universal income, review of our work week, how we retrain our young people.
But the city has billions of dollars in debt. Manhattan Institute senior fellow Orrin Cass says they're in no position to be giving away money.
It's absolutely bizarre for a city that's essentially already bankrupt to be piloting a program of mailing large amounts of money to everybody.
I'm Cole Lauterbach.
The Illinois Supreme Court's allowing a woman to proceed with her lawsuit against the city of Danville, alleging that city officials are liable after she tripped and fell on a poorly maintained sidewalk. Barbara Monson says that she broke her shoulder when she tripped on the sidewalk. The High Court rejected Danville's claim that it should be immune from such litigation. And pork farmers across Illinois are gearing up for what may be one of the most significant financial losses in recent years. Pork production across the country is expected to increase by 5% this year, an increase that will force lower prices, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY, depend on it.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.